I don't know about yourself, but I had a wonderful time with some family. This Christmas break was a season to really kind of take a rest from the ordinary, regular activities and focus on my family community and the significant role I play as husband, as father, as son, as brother. And I met for the first time our little baby Andrew, our nephew from Ontario. He was a good ripe 21 days old, and he was definitely getting a lot more attention than myself. I don't know why. We have similar haircuts. You know, we should be getting similar attention, right? He was a lot cuter. Actually, I held him and like where he was staring at Christine in the eyes. He kept like looking away from me for some reason. He was like, "Get my eyes off of this guy." But it was a wonderful season. And I was saying to many of you out in the foyer before we started our worship service here, just like it went by so fast. I don't know, like meeting this beloved family member or friend and. We did this, and time was gone, and we're back at the regular routine. And as we do, a tradition I've always been a part of is a focus on prayer to begin the year, and that's why this service is oriented towards prayer. Next week, we're starting a service on a series of messages in the book of Matthew, really doing a character study of Matthew, this guy who really screwed up his life. And then he met Jesus, and his life totally changed, and he impacted the world in incredible ways that he could never imagine. So we're going to be going through a series on Matthew, but today, to start the year, our focus is on prayer. Earlier in the service, we used these words of robust and kind of reduced. When it comes to your vision of prayer, and the effect of your prayer life and its power in this world, do you have a robust view or is it a more reductionistic view of prayer? If you feel like, okay, here's the full vision of prayer, 10 out of 10, what would you rank your vision of prayer as? My hope, you know, even if you go from a 2 to a 3, or 1.5 to a 2, that's a huge increase. I was thinking about this this morning. How many of you have seen the superhero movie Black Panther? Hands up. Black Panther. Okay, we got a good smattering of hands. Okay, so I'm thinking about this. I'm going, well, in this movie, what's underneath the country of Wakanda? What's their great resource? Who's got it? Vibranium. Is it vibranium? Yes. So they think of this country as the poorest country in the world. Little do they know they're the richest country in the world because they have this unbelievable resource sitting underneath them of vibranium. Church, we have vibranium of this world. It's called prayer. Do you believe that? Or is this just the pastor talking? You have the most powerful force available to you at work in this world, and it's this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the author, the perfecter of this world, the Lord of this world. I've been with family, haven't had a ton of time to prepare. I'm just going to speak from the heart on this issue of prayer, and I got a couple stories. But hear this scripture, church, this relates to each one of you, it relates to us. Because so often our vision of prayer is not what God's vision of prayer is. Over and over again, when I read Jesus' words on prayer, it stretches me. Like, what? Really? You're telling me? It's like his promises are so big. And here again, if my people who are called by my name, Christians, followers of Jesus, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Humility is a proper estimation of oneself. Pride is an overestimation. Humility, recognizing, confessing that which isn't right in my life. Don't you just wish that for people around you who are continually bringing that which isn't right into your life? Jesus calls his followers to get humble. He models humility. And God, over and over again, calls us to pray, to that this prayer is going to be a force in this world like none other, and that God somehow, even though he knows us so well, and there's this question of like, does he know what we're going to say already? But he wants this interconnected relationship with himself and his people, and we change as we pray, and he calls us to pray. There's George Mueller lived in the I don't even know if I'm saying his name right. George, is it Mueller or Mueller? Do you know? Mueller. Okay, George Mueller. The majority is saying Mueller, so here we go. He stands out to me as a man of prayer. So in a short kind of amount of prep time, I think of George Mueller and his life that he lived. He has many examples of living a prayerful life. I'm going to read from his journal. So November 1844, we have his journals. He said, I began to pray for the conversion of 5 individuals. I prayed every day, without a single intermission, whether sick or in health, on the land, on sea, whatever the pressure of my engagements, we could say in air now as well, right? They didn't have that option in 1844. So whether on sea, on land, in air, whatever the pressure of my engagements might be, 18 months elapsed before the first of the 5 was converted. This person gave their life to Christ. He continues, I thanked God and prayed on for the others. 5 years go by, and then the second converted. I thanked God for the second, and I prayed on for the other 3, day by day. I continued to pray for them. 6 years passed before the 3rd was converted. I thanked God for the 3 and went on praying for the other 2. These 2 remained unconverted. 36 years later, he wrote that the other 2, sons of one of Mueller's friends, were still not converted. He wrote, but I hope in God, I pray on and look for the answer. They are not converted yet, but they will be. A sign of faith to involve that kind of prayer in your life day after day. Well, in 1897, 52 years after he began to pray, these 2 men were finally converted after he had died. Mueller understood what Jesus meant when he told his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. I know, and I didn't have time to check in, but I know a story of one of our elders who prayed for his friends all growing up, lost track of them, and he said it reconnected with them, and they had become followers of Christ in reconnecting later in life. What? Does prayer have that kind of power? Like, we're talking moving and shaping a heart. We're talking a whole other way of thinking, a new Lord, a new way of operating, a new religion, whatever you want to call it. It's a whole new bent. Prayer has that kind of power? I'm both inspired and humbled by that kind of prayer life. I remember when I came here, I moved and had a prayer list of three and was living this out, praying regularly. And then one of them moved away and I kind of stopped praying. And it's this, Lord, I'm in 2020. Do you want me to keep praying? One of them gave their life to Christ since I was praying for them. And one of them still in my life who doesn't know the Lord yet. If my people would humble themselves and pray, it certainly is humility to include prayer in our day-to-day life, isn't it? There's so many other things to do. Do you have a vision for including prayer in 2020? Do you have a vision for how important, how powerful prayer is in this year, in your life, in this world around us? Do you have a vision for how our church vision is going to be fulfilled through prayer? There's so many different aspects to this vision that God's given us as a church, to be following Him, to be equipping each other, and to be sharing the gospel. And we're anticipating lives are going to be changed for eternity. They're going to go from one hand to the next. They're going to go from an eternity apart from God to an eternity with God. There is no greater blessing you can have on someone. You couldn't, if you gave them $1 million, that wouldn't be the blessing that praying and influencing a heart and life towards being in God's kingdom would. As I was talking to you without glasses on, you're really blurry. For those of you who need glasses like myself, like, things get a lot less clear, don't they? And yet, it's such a great illustration as we start 2020, this association of vision. We gain vision when we pray. It's part of prayer is that our lives and our hearts become more like the one we're talking with, right? Those who you spend your life with, it's known that, you know, if you marry someone and you spend time with that person, or if you have a really good friend, you start talking like that friend, you become more like them. Your hearts are shaped and influenced by those you spend time with. That is the epitome of prayer. You're going for coffee, you're having time with God, and God with His broader family, and then God one-on-one times, your heart is being shaped more like His. And yet, the busyness of life, right? I'm thinking about George Mueller and going, that era, people weren't as distracted as we are now. We've got so much entertainment. We have so many live streams. We have so many things at our access at the internet, so many privileges that distract us. And yet, there's a sense of life was really more challenging in that period of time. You had to work at things more. There were things that got in the way. In every season, in every era of the church, there are challenges that threaten to stop us from prayer. My question is for you, what is it that stops you from praying? What is it that prevents you from getting into prayer? From having that become a richer, bigger part of your life? Because we say we make time for what's important, right? We always make time for what's important to us. I think this prayer is, it's a challenging peace, and yet I've been influenced and blessed by so many of your prayers. I think about it's this tug and pull of just like, oh, it's amazing to think of how blessed I am to be in prayed for by you and influenced by your prayers and hear your prayers. And I also go, that's not enough, church. Keep going. Live into it the next step. That's the challenge as a follower, is we don't stay still. If we're following Jesus, it's an active thing, right? We're chasing after Him. I was thinking from my own journal, September 30th was a Monday morning, and I felt the challenge to get after things. September the fall season is a very fast and full season for a pastor. I read at the top of my journal entry on that morning, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. I write, "The day is moving on, much to do. I need to pray." I go on to pray for our elders and our staff, influencers in my life, in our denomination, my family. Recount a wonderful night with the family the night before. I ask for God's heart and show me your heart for parenting and representing your fatherly love. I felt just God whisper these words like he does. He speaks to his followers. His sheep hear his voice. He said, I heard the word tenderness in my mind from the Lord. And I took that direction as far as God's calling me to tenderness in my role as a father. And I write on, "May I fill my bucket with tenderness, my God." Volleyball kids. I started coaching volleyball. Grade 4 to 7. I had 2 daughters on the team this year. And I asked, "Give me your heart to teach and train young minds." And I was going to coach later that afternoon. There's so many things to get after and go do. And I felt God what happens is ideas come to mind as we pray. And as I'm in prayer, as I'm dedicating that space to God, I trust that the words and thoughts that come to my mind, whether it's a picture or words, that God is looking to speak into my life. So I had this new idea come up. Sit down and talk to the volleyball kids for a few minutes. This is a new idea. If I'd got going into my day, this idea wouldn't have occurred. And then the idea of the rich young ruler just comes to mind. And then draw out the comparison of walking closely with Jesus and this would you rather game. Would you rather follow Jesus or would you rather be good at volleyball? This kind of ordering of affections for these little minds in athletics. What's more important? Knowing that God loves you or knowing you're the best in volleyball. We were about to play St. Anne's Catholic School that Wednesday, and we'd had a grand, 9 days of practice. Most of these kids had never done any volleyball team sports at all. Part of my heart was to prepare them that their little egos weren't going to get crushed from losing. But part of it was God revealing himself. I tell you, that day, I never had a day like it in my volleyball experience. I can remember first playing in gym class in grade 6, and I played high school volleyball, I played college volleyball, played recreation volleyball. I've never had a Bible broken open on a volleyball court before, and I felt like God just directed me in that way. He brought it before me, and it was a tone setter for the whole volleyball season. It was amazing. And it was a simple thing. It wasn't all put together a thought, but it was just, kids, I want you to know that no matter what happens, God loves you, and that's the most important thing. It matters more than if you're good. Matters more than if you win. And it set the tone. And I think about my own journey. I remember Christina reflecting to me in college, I knew whether you had a good day or a bad day at practice, how well you did, because your demeanor would be up or your demeanor would be down. My sense of my worth would go on how well I played or how poorly I played. If someone had done something like this for me, would it have set me free from not placing my worth and value in how I perform? This is just what happens in prayer, is that God speaks to us. And The call is to pay attention to these thoughts. It was a good year of volleyball, and I feel like a seed was planted. John 10 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." In faith, we believe that God speaks. It's not just, in prayer isn't just leaving voicemails and emails on an eternal answering machine and an email box. I don't know if you've seen God Almighty, or Bruce Almighty. Do you remember that old movie where God empowers Bruce with godlike powers, and then he's got a whole bunch of prayer request emails, and but how God does it is he just speed types through them all. And then, how does he do it, right? So, but there's this relationship, this back and forth. My sheep know my voice. I don't know what your prayer life is like, but in my journey of learning to trust him, it's that it's an engagement, that he impresses things on my heart. Some of us, it's like, oh, he gives us pictures. And it's just like, what is this? And we're to ask the next question, what are you trying to say? And we test it with the word. Sometimes it's, hey, go to this verse. I'm highlighting this letter I have before you. Sometimes we test it with the church. Hey, is this on the mark? I feel like God's leading in this way. Another way to test what God's doing is just put it on the shelf to test if this is from God. Let him bring it to fruition. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." In walking with saints who went through the veil of eternity just at the end of the year, where they transferred from this life into the next, we reflected on these words, the Spirit's groanings, the Spirit of God is within us. Why wouldn't we sense that God speaks into our hearts if his very presence is in us? We read in this Second Chronicles of the temple and how God blesses the temple and how God's very presence is in the temple, a place like this. And then when Jesus breaks through the veil, when he dies on the cross, the veil of the temple is torn and God's presence is loosed into all of your lives. He doesn't just reside here in this building. He resides in his temple, the image of God, us human beings. So there's this kind of transference. I know there's different traditions which really say, well, there's like this sacred space where there's kind of like a worn path where the presence of God is more thick in this place. I haven't fully looked into that, as that hasn't been fully my tradition in evangelical paths I've gone. One thing I do know is that as I've prayed with people who are godly, is I feel that I could hear God more clearly. That's been my experience. Prayer is the path to becoming people God's calling us to be. Prayer is the path to becoming the church that God's calling us to be. And prayer is a huge part of the path for taking the land when it comes to the vision that God has for this church, for the next person, that family member, that neighbor. Would you be just stirred again in your heart to go, what's it going to take, God, to get a sense of what you're doing? And truly, this is just him again stirring up what he's already started. Galatians 3:3, why are you trying to forward on your own what God started? Do you think you can all take this into becoming this grand thing? Do you think you can become holy and righteous without God doing it? No, he started it. The good news is that he's going to continue it in your life in 2020. And our part is to humble ourselves. This posture of humility is open hands and open life in 2020. Maybe there's an area of your life you're not open to. Maybe it's criticism. Maybe it's money. I'm not open to giving that one to you, God. Maybe it's unforgiveness when it comes to a parent or a coworker that hurt you. The call of God again and again is to take what our lives are closed for our own way and following the model of Jesus to open our hands. Jesus, in humility, prayed for you and me. It's recorded in John 17. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one. This is a huge way that we're going to take the land in 2020 and the years to come is unity. Refusing to be judgmental towards each other. Refusing to let sins of gossip, of standing in criticism, of pride get in the way. He calls us to be one. He prays for us. And he continues, I pray that they will all be one just as you and I are. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. The Good Shepherd not only humbled himself in prayer, but a life of humility prepared him for the ultimate humbling. The humbling aspect of being baptized prepared him for the ministry ahead. And the ministry he had prepared him for this ultimate ministry of humbling himself on a cross for you and me, dying on our behalf that we would be made righteous. You are righteous if you've accepted the blood of Jesus sacrificed on your behalf. You are righteous. So you can go and live into being right with God. And you don't carry your own righteousness, you carry God's righteousness. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer. My prayer is that we as a church will be growing our vision of prayer, that we'll be turning to the scriptures and looking at Jesus' wild promises when it comes to asking for things in prayer. My prayer is that our prayer lives will grow in intercession for others and asking God for our own lives. My prayer is that our prayer lives will grow in confession, that our prayer lives will grow in understanding we need to just give him glory each and every day. Wrapping things up, coming back to George Mueller and his wife, this man of prayer ended up opening an orphanage. He ended up opening his home to orphans, and they eventually got accommodated 30 girls in their own house. Can you imagine? Well, eventually the neighbors started complaining, and they had to start building orphanages. And it got to the point where they had a house of 280 orphans, and then they had a second house of 356 orphans. And then they had a third and fourth house of 450 orphans each, and a fifth of 309 orphans. Mueller paid for those orphanages through prayer. He seriously did. He was a man of prayer, in constant prayer. He had a lot to pray for. Each of us have a lot to pray for. In one well-documented occasion, thanks was given for breakfast when all the children were sitting at the table, even though there was nothing to eat in the house. Have you been there before? That is faith. Going, stepping out on a limb, going, God's going to provide. And he is. And he did. When he finished praying, the baker knocked on the door with sufficient fresh bread to feed everyone. Not just him came, the milkman also stopped by. The milkman gave them plenty of fresh milk because his cart broke down in front of the orphanage. In February 12, 1842, he wrote, "A brother in the Lord came to me this morning and after a few minutes of conversation gave me £2,000 for furnishing the new orphan house. Now I'm able to meet all of the expenses. In all probability, I will even have several hundred pounds more than I need. The Lord not only gives as much as is absolutely necessary for his work, but he gives abundantly. This blessing filled me with inexplicable delight. He had given me the full answer to my thousands of prayers during the past 1,195 days. I'm not sure how many days your prayer life goes back. The invitation and call is to dig into these next days ahead in prayer. May he expand your vision. May he fuel your vision for what's possible. May he give you a new sight this year for the power which you're sitting on, the power which we're sitting on, church. Let's inspire each other in our life groups as we go and make these calls and share about our prayer lives and pray together. Let's do it in mentoring relationships. Let's do it in our families. What's that one thing that you're going to take away to implement this? Just take and stop a moment. What's the one way? It may even be, I'm just going to start talking to God. I don't even know if he's hearing me, but I'm going to start talking to him. It may be handing over that which you've always held so tightly, that which you're anxious about. We're going to take 3 to 4 minutes here. The band's just going to play some, they're going to set a tone for you to just meet with the Lord. So, band, come on up. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then just take a few minutes, talk with God, just in your head or under your breath, or write a note to him. Listen as you pray. He's a living God. He speaks. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his church. He speaks through the Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord, we want to take a posture of humility. We take your word seriously. Your timeless word that was just as true then when your Spirit poured out over the sacrifice, burned up all that, the thousands of sacrifices made to you in your temple. Your presence was clearly seen and felt. God, you are so here. We bring our lives before you in humility. You are so grand. We confess ways where our prayer lives need to grow, where the courage of sharing what God's doing in our lives needs to grow. Lord, we confess ways where we've been self-dependent. Oh, Lord, you know it's so true of my own life. Ways where I've gotten into trouble. Ways where I've hurt myself or hurt others because I haven't relied on your power but on my own. I haven't had a grand, big enough, robust vision of what you're doing. We confess that. I confess that, Lord. How is it that you value us so much? How is it that you've gone to such extents to adopt us? You've built an orphanage right here. I never saw it before, Lord. Your kids, you provide for each one of them. Sometimes we know a lot in advance that we're being provided for. Sometimes we sit down and we don't know how you're going to get us through this next one. But here we are again, Lord. So we just take this time. Speak to us. We're paying attention, Lord. Grow our hearts more like yours.